As I began to think about World Communion Sunday, I remembered an experiment I had done in grade school about the composition of the world. If the world were 100 people, 50 of them would be female and 50 male. 26 would be children. There would be 74 adults, 8 of whom would be 65 and older. There would be 60 Asians, 15 Africans, 14 people from the Americas, that's North and South, and 11 Europeans, 33 Christians, 22 Muslims, 14 Hindus, 7 Buddhists, 12 people who practiced all other religions, and 12 not aligned at all. Language-wise, 12 would speak Chinese, 5 each Spanish and English, 3 would be Arabic and Hindi, Bengali and Portuguese, that one surprised me, 2 would speak Russian, 2 would be Japanese, and 62 would speak all the remainder of the languages. 83 people would be able to read and to write. That's 17 who would not. 7 people would have a college degree. 22 would own or share a computer. 77 people would have a place to shelter them from the wind and the rain. But that makes 23 who would not. In this world, one person would die of starvation, 15 would be undernourished, and 21, primarily from the Americas, would be overweight. 87 would have access to safe drinking water, and 13 would have none. On this World Communion Sunday, we remember that we are one of many. This series continues as a response to the questions of who is God and who am I? Our identity is necessarily entangled with who God is and who God made us to be. And we are those who are fearfully and wonderfully made, found and embraced by the love of God, and as a result, are disciples and are useful. Thus far, we have focused on a very narrow relationship between God and individual. Today, we open to more fully reflect the wideness of God, which is personal but never private. Sometimes, we forget that we are part of one larger world. Even we could let nationality divide us. I listened to this story yesterday. True story, it was the wedding day for Joe due about a week ago on Sunday, and the zipper on her beautiful wedding gown had broken. A Sunday in Ontario, Canada, and no tailor shops were open. Now you can imagine her bridesmaids did not want her walking down the aisle with pins in her back, so they decided to knock on the doors around them and came the door of a next-door neighbor. How desperate they felt. They were looking for a pair of flyers, but what they ultimately found was much, much better. The neighbor, David Hobson, was hosting a Syrian refugee family. And when he saw the broken wedding dress and the party gathered around, he remembered this family included a master tailor. The father, Ibrahim, had been a tailor for 28 years in Syria and mastered the situation in no time. His sewing kit quickly returned the beauty of that wedding day to an otherwise wrought situation. The recent immigrant family, that's the wedding family, the Dues, had immigrated from China and received well the graciousness, the offering of the Dudos from Syria. How beautiful it is when we imagine ourselves not just as individuals, but as part of a larger community, each of us needing one another. How beautiful it is to learn our neighbors as vital parts of our lives, and not just those we avoid with leaves on the other side of the yard. To not let nationality and difference divide us. In a world in which you and I cling more closely to those which we are familiar, those whose experiences echo our own, those whose activities we recognize, we forget this is not a Christian value. It is a defensive and preserving worldly value. Instead, our faith values come from the one who was always transgressing boundaries and borders. It was around a table that Jesus gathered the disciples when he was imparting the most life-changing news to apostles and disciples. It was around those tables that he gathered zealots and tax collectors, fishers and rich women, religious experts, and those who were culturally bereft of any knowledge of temple practices. Around the table, they found commonality and were reminded we are one of many. Jesus, who came into the world not just for the precious few who always seem to have it figured out, but for the entire world. The breaking of the bread, the giving of the cup, the servant sacrifice were not just for a few, but the entire world. World Communion Sunday is a reminder that what unites us around the world is stronger than the details which divide us. The kind of bread we consecrate, the language with which we receive the sacrament, the traditions of how we spend our time together are details in contrast to the Savior whom we serve. Our understandings of governmental structures, political parties that pull us apart, and clothing are details in contrast to the human experience which drives us to the God whom we all need. In the midst of these distinctions, we find we have similar heart songs. Psalm 63 was not just written thousands of years ago as David was fleeing from Absalom. It has been the prayer song of all who sought God since with desperation. It has been the heart song of those fleeing from devastation in Syria, a land that has for generations been the home of a people and a place where people of faith can no longer depend on the places and traditions which shape their faith. Oh God, you are my God, and I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus sings the psalmist and the refugee. Thus sings the oppressed and the downtrodden. This is our heart song when the world crashes in on us. It is the heart song of those whose loved ones have died at the hands of others by violence. It is the heart song of us who feel abandoned and alone. In Chicago and in Crimea, in Walla Walla, and in Westchester, all around the world. On this World Communion Sunday, we celebrate that God's table is larger than we understand, and we must continue to extend it to include all of God's children. It includes those here in the church, as well as those who, if they actually showed up in the same building, we'd be somewhat beside ourselves. On this day, we remember that each one of God's children is a gift. World Communion Sunday reminds us there are many reasons to gather around the table. Some of us may be coming this morning with hearts that are heavy from the difficult news of the week. Heaviness from difficult diagnoses, ailing friends and family, a world that appears beleaguered and failing. God meets us in the gift of the sacrament and offers us healing. Some of us come this morning to communion relieved to have a place to put a pause on everything else and stay in the shelter of the safety of the ark for even just a little while. God meets us in the stillness of our hearts and grants peace in the midst of our storms. Some of us this morning are celebrating birthdays and anniversaries, special days and mundane beautiful days. God meets us in the joy of communion and invites us to share that joy with others. So as you come to the table this morning, remember that there are people all over the world gathering today to take part in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. There are people all over the world celebrating the sacrament of Holy Communion. No two of these people have lived following Jesus in the same way. No two of these people approach the communion table with exactly the same heart or the same gait. No two of these people will be changed in the same way after encountering the living God. However, we know that each of us will be transformed by the presence of each other in community and the life-creating, redeeming, and sustaining power of Jesus. This, my friends, is the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.